Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Isaiah says some startling words today. You were angry with me. An angry God? No one believes that anymore, really, do they? Many today in Christianity and even outside of Christianity, when they observe Christianity, they think that there are two gods found in the Bible. The God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. Whenever you read the Old Testament, God always seems crabby and snarky to everybody. This old man with a white beard throwing down fire and lightning bolts on everybody. But then the New Testament isn't about anger at all. It's simply about love and happiness and the good things of God. But Isaiah says it very plainly today. You were angry with me. Is the Lord an angry God or a loving God? And when we ask a question like that, we seem to ask it as though we get to determine the answer. Are you a human being? Last I checked, I am. You are as well. Are you a human being of anger or love? The alternate question to is God a God of anger or love maybe should be this way. Is there anything in me that indicates that I am the problem? Ask that of yourselves. But Pastor, I thought the Bible said that God is love. He's a God of love. And yes, He is. That's what we hear about all throughout the Scriptures. But American Christianity has taken God and turned Him into some sort of fuzzball of friendship. Everybody's a winner with Jesus. Happiness and success for everybody because the Son of God has come. Not to seek and to save the lost. Not to be crucified at the hands of us sinful human beings, but to simply give health, wealth, and prosperity to everybody who simply believes. Yet Isaiah says today, you were angry with me, so is God angry or is He loving? The question is too simple. Ask a parent whose child won't listen or who's disobedient. Is that parent angry or loving? Yes. Isaiah confesses the truth. God, you were angry with me. And the last I checked, Isaiah is one of the major prophets. He's actually named in the Bible. I'm not named by name, and neither are you. We are not God. We are human beings who are sinful. And even though we get angry, and even though we love, we don't do the anger or the love right. My anger is flawed, and so is yours. We lash out, we judge, we criticize, and in our anger, we tell everybody, you better change or pay up. And yet James says today, be slow to anger. He doesn't say, don't be angry. This is not something that God tells us today that is impossible. Be slow to anger. Why? Because you and I trip up in it. But not with God. His anger is actually controlled. It's a judgment against rebellion. God's justified anger is seen all throughout the Bible. He, in many ways, has every right to be angry. And look at where you see it. Adam and Eve are told they're going to die. He floods the world. He destroys Sodom and Gomorrah by fire. He destroys the Jerusalem temple twice. He is angry, and maybe he is angry a little bit more than we can imagine in the Bible. But this is not simply here today to scare the ever-living pants off of you. It's to make you and me take an inventory of our life. Where have you rebelled? Where have you lusted? Where have you found yourself all about greed? Where have you showed lack of respect to your neighbor? Where have you been self-centered, self-pitying? disregard for love and the love of God and the love of neighbor. God's anger has a purpose to drive us to repentance, to drive us to a change of heart by faith. And if there is not that change, you're doomed. You are sinners who are left with nothing but God's anger and just condemnation. Do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Paul puts it this way, in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up yourself the wrath and the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Great. What a motivation, right? But God gives us a perfect example of what His love and His anger is all about. We call Him our Heavenly Father. And yes, we as parents are flawed. We're flawed in our love and we're flawed in our anger. But as parents, we do love. And at times, yes, we get angry. But here's the thing. God's anger is not proper to Him. Meaning this is not who He likes to be and what's normal for Him. It's not who He is. In the Bible, in the Word of God, He shows us His anger, but it's unnatural. Anger, wrath, punishment are really foreign to God's nature. He's truly a God of love, mercy, kindness, and forgiveness. That's who He normally and naturally is. And the Lord passed before Him and proclaimed, the Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and in truth. The majority of the time, you as parents love. You want to love. And maybe at times you've told your kids, like my father told me when he brought about discipline, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. God uses the law to produce repentance in us, not to punish us. The Lord uses His law to discipline in order to heal us. He kills in order to make us alive. God's word tells us in Hebrews, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. This is why Isaiah says, O Lord, I will praise you, though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. God's love is turned away, not on us, but on His Son, who pours out and takes on the anger of God as God pours it out onto Him. It's not as if God says, well, I'm no longer angry. Let's just move on. God says somebody must pay for what's been done against me. This is not going to go away on its own. And that is where we see the immense love and mercy of God right there on the cross of Jesus. That's where God's anger is truly shown to us, that you and I deserve to go to that cross and be condemned. But that's also God's true and amazing love for us, that Christ takes your place. His anger was poured out onto His Son. We look at that and we say, yeah, that's God's true anger I deserve. And yet that is God's immense love given to me. Christ is risen. And now Isaiah says you are comforted. You're not afraid. You're full of trust in God by faith. It's all been done freely and wholly for you. It's yours each and every day. The promises of God will never be taken away. He is slow to anger, but abounding in steadfast love. So what does that mean for you and for me? It means that you're changed and transformed by His love. It doesn't simply mean that, whew, I got out of that one. His love changes you and exhorts you. Be free of what causes you anxiety, greed, or anger. If the Lord Jesus has turned aside the wrath of God from you, why do you hold on to your wrath and your anger against each other? God's anger has been turned away. His love is poured out in and through you, through Christ. So stop the shouting. Stop the gossip, the raging, the murmuring, the unkind whispering and grumbling. Why? Because we love, because He first loved us. So then, my beloved brethren, as James says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. It's so hard. It's so terribly hard. But that is why we are brought to repentance day in and day out, to not only be forgiven by the immeasurable love of God in Christ Jesus for you, but also to have a change of heart. The heart of stone is ripped out from you, and you are given a new heart of flesh, pumping with the blood and the love of Jesus in and through you. Your true joy is God Himself. The cross and resurrection of Jesus has set aside God's anger. God is a God who loves and creates and gives and forgives, who dies and who rises. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And that means that He will continue to hold up the universe, all while loving you day by day, His child. And in Him, we shall find comfort and trust. You will enter into the day of God's judgment, not with fear, not to be seated before an angry and just God, but through the blood of Christ, a God who welcomes you, who says to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come prepare the inheritance I prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Why? Because God loves you, and He has His heart fixed on you. You are His joy. You are His pride. You are His love. And because of that, our hearts are fixed where true joys are to be found. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
To Christ alone be the glory forever and ever. Amen.